Hatchery Policy C-3619. This is a review, a briefing, and public comment. Mr. Warren, you look lovely this morning.
Chair Carpenter, thank you. I'm not sure anybody's ever said that to me before.
There was a reason.
I'm attempting to, doggone it.
Breathe.
Share my screen with you.
Looks good.
How are we doing, Nikki? Thank you. Chair Carpenter, commissioners, directors, thank you very much. I'm Ron Warren, Fish Policy Director for the department. Here today to talk about our ongoing review and edits to modification to the Hatchery and Fishery Reform Policy C-3619. If I can make it advance, I will be happy as can be. There we go. So today I just hope to offer you just a quick look in the past. And I think I went one too far, maybe not. Then take some time to describe the public comment and then seek next steps from the commission. So to date, and like I said, this will be very brief, but to date we've done our thorough review of Hatchery and Fishery Reform Policy, science and implementation, although we've got additional monitoring and evaluation that we'd like to work on so that we have a more thorough picture of our hatchery system in the state and a statewide consistency in that monitoring program. We also have the anadromous salmon and steelhead hatchery policy draft. And sorry for this slide, I missed this first bullet here. The most recent edits to that policy were approved in the November 6th special meeting and have gone through some additional extensive public comment. And when I say extensive, I don't mean anything other than an extended time frame. We got extensive number of comments back, and I hope to utilize some time to go through those. And then the Hatchery writing policy has not met since the last time, as we've continued to take public comment and meet with our tribal co-managers on this topic. So what I did here is to try to just describe for the commission all of the themes of public comment that we've received since early on in the process. So just these first few pages are only those comments received in August. And so this isn't the time from November 6th to current. So those were August. This is September to October, where we also had quite a few. And again, commissioners, these are themes of comments. And then continuing into October. And then from November 6th on, I've got several pages. I'm not going to read these. I don't anticipate that you read these, but I wanted to be able to have this as part of the transparency for the department to show the public that we're trying to share this. I know that the commissioners received lots of public comment to read and try to digest. And so how I will go through this is instead of reading, then I'm going to get to maybe the last page and then try to summarize So if you put all of the comments together in these types of themes, and so there were themes of protection of wild salmon, improvements to the current draft policy, and a request to do more extensive environmental impact work as we proceed forward. If you take just the themes that are contained within this PowerPoint presentation, those were 29 of the comments that I just scrolled past. If you then lump folks that commented on, we want to have this policy be less restrictive. We want it to be, give us the ability to increase production and or just approve it and move forward. There were 24 of those comments. There were also three comments that talked about gears and people's preference of the use of gears, whether you should allow gill nets or not, and priorities for recreational fishers. And then two specific comments on the need to control predation. So out of all the comments we received, which this month I will say were some of the most thorough, extensive comments that I think we have received. If you look back over time, we've really got a really nice record of what people are trying to do and whether or not they think that we have made strides or not to at least try to get to where they were hoping we would. In looking at some of the lengthy documents, we had over 300 comments that feed these themes within all of the written comments produced. So, and that may have been a really clunky way to go through all of those, but as a matter of record, I hope folks that did take the time, did go through the public comment period can see some of the themes that we tried to incorporate here, because there were some very, very well thought out, like I said, constructive public comments that were received since that November 6th meeting. And commissioners, the next steps, question mark instead of questions to me, is more that I would be happy to answer any questions for you that I might be able to. I know we've got staff on as well about the hatchery policy, if that's what you choose. But I think more importantly, the Fish Committee has recently met and discussed this. I was able to listen into that. I look forward to what they have to say in a briefing to you, as well as the conversation that the commission will have on what those next steps are. And we look forward to continue to work on this project.
Okay. Commissioner McIsaac, would you like to comment on the Fish Committee discussion and the potential recommendation?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Fish Committee recommendation was listed, posted on the website the other day, and so maybe I can ask Nikki if she can bring that up. And it's in some kind of baby font here, but I might have to get my glasses on. But let me try to speak to it. And I think it's useful for this to be up before we go to public testimony and for the other commissioners that weren't around at the Fish Committee meeting the other day. So the Fish Committee recommendations are twofold. One is to adopt a revised schedule. That did not get a lot of discussion, at the Fish Committee the other day. So I'll take a moment and run through that in a little more detail. And secondly, to provide the following guidance on policy language development to the writing work group. You'll see in the schedule that's upcoming that the writing work group would be convened in the month of December to continue to work on policy language. And so the recommendation from the Fish Committee is that the commission provide this guidance First of all, to incorporate appropriate suggestions for grammatic, wording, and readability improvements and technical lapses such as verbiage duplications and Appendix 3 not including a schedule. Second of all, adding, clarifying, or additional descriptive language regarding limits to increase in hatchery production, increases in hatchery production that would be enabled by changes currently being considered to policy C3619 and the process by which any increase in hatchery production might occur. So this is focused on limitations on hatchery increases. To the commission, if they went with this, would be asking the writing group to add additional language to get more specificity into that. We had a lot of public comment on that. C, provide additional language responsive to the tribal input from the December 2nd tribal co-manager meeting on the November 6th public review draft. And at the Fish Committee, we talked about four different specific areas where the tribal co-managers had asked for some additional language. And lastly, to consider adding clarifying or more descriptive language consistent with the policy intent expressed by the commission to date. So this is kind of a catch-all, depending on what we might hear in public testimony. And as far as the schedule goes, Nikki, if you could scroll down. Again, this is a schedule. We had some discussion about this at our November 20th commission meeting, that because the November 17th co-manager meeting was not able to toward fruition of original intent, that we would not be able to get to final conclusions here in December as originally hoped. So with that recognition, this schedule starts off with some discussion early in November that the staff begin the SEPA process. This, let me orient, first of all, we have a column of dates. We have a column of policy language process, so revising language. And then we have a column here on what is the SEPA process milestones. So the idea here was that we discussed, I think, back on November 6th, was to begin a new assessment for environmental impacts based on the November 6th draft difference between that and the 2009 policy. And while there isn't a final draft to look at, it was thought that the staff could begin on maybe some of the easy or formatic type of business in. On Friday, November 20th, we talked about modifying the schedule, and the website was adjusted so the public would be alerted that they should not expect a final decision here today. Wednesday, December 2nd, we did have a fruitful tribal co-manager policy level meeting. I think there were 61 participants in that meeting. And again, the bottom line is that we heard from the tribal co-managers a variety of things, that's been distributed to the commission in writing, so I won't go into that. But as a result of a letter from four tribes, was distributed to the commission, so I won't go into detail on that. They recommended three particular areas for language changes. On the Columbia River, we had two folks, one from the Columbia River Intertribal Fish Commission and one from the Nez Perce tribe, say that they may have some additional written comments coming in the immediate near future that had not been completely authorized yet. And there was the Columbia River tribes and the Nisqually tribe were asking for individual meetings on a tribe to tribe basis. But as far as the language process, we do have these four matters that that came out of that meeting that were addressed in the Fish Committee recommendation to try to deal with some language changes to reflect those. So here we are on December 3rd, the other day, the Fish Committee met to consider recommendations on revised schedule and guidance, and that's what we're going through now. Here we are on Saturday, December 5th, for the full commission decision on future process and schedule and any policy language guidance. During the month of December, on the SEPA side of things, the staff would continue to draft a new assessment based on whatever policy guidance they hear from us here today. And it may be that it's just to proceed with more language development, but some of the old things in the November 6th draft, like the purpose paragraph, would not change. And so there are some places that SEPA analysis could proceed.
Pardon me, Commissioner McIsaac. Commissioner Thorburn has a question.
I'm wondering if Columbia River tribes that are not part of the Columbia River Intertribal Commission were also present at the meeting. And if they've...
Yeah, let me say that I did not hear a representative from the Colville tribe or the Spokane tribe or any of the other non-treaty tribes. I guess I would ask Ron Warren, who may be more familiar with all the names, whether they were on this particular call. They were on the July call, and they did make some recommendations that were incorporated in the November 6th draft. But Ron Warren, do you know about attendance from the Columbia River non-treaty tribes?
Here, Carpenter, Commissioner McIsaac. I did not go through that as we were talking. I was focused more on taking notes, trying to capture some of the tribal intent, and didn't scroll through many of the names. I did not hear anybody from Colville, Spokane, Kalispell, that section of the state where tribes reside, weigh in verbally. I know that they have participated in the past, and Bill Twight and I have communicated since that meeting when we reach out to those tribes to make sure that they have an opportunity or for some individualized consultation so that we have a record of what they said and try to see how we might fit some of their needs into the future modifications of the policy. So thank you, Commissioner Thorburn.
And I might add that I did notice Mr. Tom Scribner, who's with the Yakima tribe, on the participants list, but we did not hear from him at the meeting. Nikki, if you could scroll up a little further and maybe put December 14th up near the top, if we, oops. Okay, well, scroll back down and we'll get there. We'll get there. So the proposed schedule here shows that the writing work group would be reconvened on a couple of dates spaced well apart in the month of December to deal with the charges, if the commission agrees with them, that were referred to up above. And on December 30th, SEPA staff and legal counsel would participate in that meeting and advise the writing work group on SEPA progress, environmental impact assessment progress, and any challenges related to that based on the draft that they would be shown going into that meeting on December 30th. This is intended to culminate in the kind of draft that we maybe would have hoped to have seen today, but doing it on January 8th as a step where the full Fish Commission at that Friday meeting would adopt a draft for purposes of final SEPA review. You'll see a step right before that where the Fish Committee will be involved on looking at the revised language and make any recommendations to the full commission. But on the 8th, the idea there is that there would be a draft adopted that dealt with these language changes if the commission agrees with them, and the commission would see what those language changes are and adopt something that would allow the staff to formally look at a quote finished draft and do it and open it up for a SEPA 2-week public review process. And if you scroll to the rest of the calendar here, 2 weeks later would end the SEPA 2-week public review process. On Thursday, January 28th through Saturday, we have another full commission meeting. And so the Thursday of that meeting would be a Fish Committee a meeting to take a look at the draft CEPA analysis at that time on that Thursday and consider any recommendations. The staff would present what they have as a draft at that point. On Saturday, the full commission would hear the CEPA assessment and take public testimony, but not make a decision. Sometime between February 2nd and the 10th would be an opportunity for tribal co-manager input prior to a final commission action. We've indicated to the tribal co-managers that before the commission would take such final action, they would see exactly what the commission is looking at in advance. And that's a commitment I think we need to live up to. On Friday the 12th, then, is the full commission decision. So it's a delay of about a meeting. It's actually a meeting and a half, if you want to say that. But we're just not able at this point in time to finish the business today. So that's the proposed schedule, and I'd be glad to try to answer any questions on it.
Does the commission have any questions of Commissioner Kajic now, or would you prefer to wait until after public comment? Either way is fine. I just want to throw that out. Okay. I don't see any hands up. Nikki, would you, we're going to move into the open public comment period now. Nikki, will you read the preamble, please?
Hey, Larry?
Yes, Barbara, pardon me. Vice Chair Baker.
I'm sorry, I couldn't get my hand up in time. Quickly, I have two questions for Commissioner McKaiser. On the Fish Committee recommendations, as somebody who isn't on the Fish Committee, I wonder if there could be an add to those recommendations. I'm not sure how proper this is, but we all have, I think we've all made the point over and over and over that this is a really important policy, and what's really important for us to consider as we're negotiating it is to consider the science, especially the science of our staff and the tribes. I see the tribes on your recommendation in terms of working closely with them. I don't see anything on there to ameliorate the issues that our staff have raised, and that makes me uncomfortable. That's one thing. And the second thing is this proposal on the schedule is very prescriptive. And I wonder if you've worked through that with the staff that would need to be participating with it.
Yeah. Well, just a couple of responses there. First, on the matter of the staff input, the staff has been participating in the writing work group. So the staff is intended to be included and is encouraged to bring all their perspectives forward. So I think the matter is that they're included in all of that. So any concerns about this could fall into the D category in that. And so any and all concerns are intended to be addressed at the writing work group level. So, and they've been participating in the past, and I'm presuming that they would here. Now, it is a little prescriptive to put down December 14th and December 30th. I did have a discussion in advance with Mr. Ron Warren about that sounding a little prescriptive, and whether the 13th or the 15th or any dates around that are fine. So it's a proposed schedule, and I guess I would ask Ron Warren if you've had any further thoughts about wanting to change any of those dates or put a range of dates in there for those writing work groups or what.
Go ahead, Mr. Warren.
Chair Carpenter, Commissioner McKaysick, thank you. I don't have that is an accurate recant of our conversation, so appreciate that. We have not set those dates yet. I've shared the draft schedule that Commissioner McKaysick has shared with those key staff, just haven't landed on a date to be able to continue that conversation. relative to Commissioner Baker's question, are one of the key people from the Joe Anderson et al. Paper on that we provided as part of the science review or as the science review of this policy is Ken Warhite. And Ken was chosen not only because of his participation in that paper, but because of his expertise in the genetic field, the fish health field, as well as in a SEPA arena for the fish program. And fish program has been very accommodating in trying to add more things to Dr. Warhite's schedule so he can assist us. But and my assumption there is that Dr. Warhite is working with Joe and other members of that team to assure that he is trying to convey and make sure that the science that they researched is represented in the policy. So I believe that we are every step of the way considering staff recommendations in edits and if we have the proper coverage of the policy. Again, this is a commission policy and we know that it's not a department policy so that it's not specific to the science and that there are modifications there as the policy decisions are made. But we have been trying to offer as much time and participation as their workloads provide us to participate in this process. So
if I may, Vice Chair Baker, I just want to make sure that you heard that from my perspective, best available science is a guiding light on this. I don't think there's any question about that. I want the commissioners to know that in total.
Thanks. Then if that's included in the presentation for the recommendation of the Fish Committee, then I'm fine.
It is,
John, would you include that because it is a draft and
we can speak to it here before public testimony, but certainly that's the intent. I think Mr. Eric Kenny has been involved in here as well, and so, but as we discussed on the concerns about science, and I think we had a discussion about some of the claims that this is abandoning the science, and of course, as you said, Mr. Chairman, that's not the case. And it's not the intent. So, the writing work group composition, I think, covers the concern that Commissioner Baker has got. And this dialogue here will be taken to heart if the language doesn't. So I think we're good.
Vice Chair Baker, does that meet your concerns?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Are there any other comments or questions from the commission on this issue before we go to public comment? Hearing none. Nikki, go ahead, please.
All right. We'll now take public comment from attendees. As a reminder, everyone receives 3 minutes for comment. Everyone's currently muted, so if you have a question, please raise your hand. If you're on the computer, the raise hand button appears under your name. If you're on the phone, please press *9 and wait to hear you have been unmuted. That's your indication it's your turn to speak. You could hear me, right? Okay. I was like, nobody's hands are up. Okay, we're okay. Here we go. First, we've got Greg King, followed by George Harris. Go ahead, Greg.
Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you.
Good morning, Commission, Chair Carpenter, Director Suslin. Listening to some of the comments and some of the stuff that I just reviewed that was sent to me in my research, and we're talking about abandoning the science. Well, HSRG was never scrutinized in a peer review. So this is all, you know, we're abandoning the science. That's a little far-fetched if you, HSRG hasn't even had peer review. And you know, I know that we have, sportsmen there are pretty upset about how this is all going down. Sportsmen want you to produce hatchery fish, and that's what they want you to do. We got a small handful of wild fish groups that are just so happy about, you know, suing the department and keeping us in litigation, and we're not producing any fish. And it's happened in Oregon too. And you know, I have a quote from Wild Fish Conservancy in 2014 in front of Senator Pearson, and it's from Director of Science Jamie Glasgow: "The only good hatchery is a closed hatchery." And let's imagine closed hatcheries in Washington State. Well, we'd probably lose orca whale for sure. We'd probably lose some bird species up and down the Columbia and the coast and in the Puget Sound. We would sure lose tribal culture. Tribal culture would disappear. That's a sad thing. So would coastal communities, inland communities. Our children and grandchildren would be looking at a salmon in an aquarium. That's terrible. We know that hatchery fish, if used as a tool to recover, will work. They worked. I've told you guys, I don't know how many times about this until I'm blue in the face, about the success of hatchery fish on the Calhoun River. Three dams and no fish ladders, and they have recovered to being close to being folded off the endangered species list. We look at Snake River Wilds and the conservation hatcheries that have worked up there. We look at the Clackamas study that debunks the Hood River study, that late wild winter steelhead were not affected by summer steelhead. So not having any peer review of HSRG papers, this whole thing should be thrown out. And my belief, and some others, is this policy should be rewritten. And we wouldn't have to go through any of this CEPA process or any of this stuff. But I want you guys to really think about this, you know, no hatchery thing, you know, and our culture and our way of life here in the Pacific Northwest, and how important salmon are to the Native American people and to us too, because we live and breathe that every day in the Pacific Northwest. So those are my comments. Thank you.
Greg, thank you for your comments today. Next, Nikki, please.
Next, we got George Harris, followed by Butch Smith. Go ahead, George. Make sure to unmute yourself.
Thank you, Nikki. Good morning, Chair Carpenter, members of the Commission, and Director Susewind. My name is George Harris, and I'm President CEO of the Northwest Marine Trade Association. Our member businesses all across the region build, sell, service, and store all of the recreational fishing boats for Washington State anglers. Thank you for the opportunity this morning to provide comment on the Commission's Andronymous Salmon and Steelhead Hatchery Policy 3619. The NMTA supports a strong, scientifically based policy and believe WDFW staff are fully capable of providing this scientific research to guide this policy, as was done in their well-written February 2021 document, WDFW Hatchery and Fishery Reform Policy Implementation Assessment. An example of where we need rigorous science from WDFW is with regard to Puget Sound Fall Chinook, and this was recommended in the February 2020 document by WDFW staff. This commission policy should clearly task WDFW to conduct a Puget Sound Fall Chinook study with the treaty tribes and the National Marine Fisheries Service. Finally, I have provided numerous comments over the years in support of and about the importance of marked selective fishing. I recommend that marked selective fishing be addressed in the North of Falcon policy. Thank you for your time this morning.
There we go. Thank you, George, for your comments. Have a good weekend. Next, Nikki.
Next, we got Butch Smith, followed by Ron Gardner. Go ahead, Butch.
Good morning, Nikki. Good morning, Mr. Chair. Good morning, Director Butch Smith, Owako Charter Association. I would just like to say that I think we're through rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. It hasn't worked I'm not willing to see, you know, our coastal communities and our tribal communities go down with the ship. This is a policy that has not worked. Nobody's abandoning science. Nobody's going back to the pre-80s style hatchery production. But we got to come somewhere between the 160 million that we lost because we know in the 90s, because we know that's not working. Yesterday was a prime example during the orca whale. Talk that we had, you know, with a bunch of great people in the room. And, to let those disappear on our watch would be a horrible crime. Your courage, hopefully we'll get those things back on the road to recovery, get our communities back on the road to recovery, and also augment and help save the wild salmon we have. I know there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of money to be made off of recovery of salmon, and some parts are not pure in that money, that dirty money, you might say that people are getting. It's time to get these things recovered. It's time to get coastal communities somewhere back on their feet, and also tribal communities. I believe we have the best salmon sciences in the world. Between WDF and W, our tribes, NOAA fisheries, and I can tell you with ESA, the overall gorilla in the room, science will be followed. I just want to appreciate what you guys are doing. Let's stay the course in changing this policy. And I will tell you, this policy has already had so much more public comment now than it did in the years of 07, 08, and 09. I can tell you that. Because had we had this dialogue back then, you know, maybe the policy would have looked a lot different. And once again, I as closing, I hearken back and encourage you to view tape of the 2018 June meeting on Dr. Warheit's talk on is it, what's the difference between 200 years to genetic purity recovery or 250 or 300? You know, do we get there, but do we get there maybe where communities are whole, people are fishing, salmon are doing well, and I think that's what we want to do. So I want to thank the commission. I want to thank WDF and W staff, Ron Warren, for the hard work that they're doing. Once again, our department, I get to work with the departments on the West Coast, in my different hats that I wear, and I will put our department against anybody on the West Coast and anybody in the world when it comes to salmon. Thank you, I think this is the last time we'll probably talk before the holidays, and have a happy holiday. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you much for your comments. Have a good weekend. Next, Nikki, please.
Next, we've got Ron Gardner, followed by Lisa Olson. Go ahead, Ron.
Am I unmuted now?
Yep, you're good.
Okay. First off, I'd like to thank everybody, especially the commission members. I mean, three hardcore days of this without a life, no pay. You're all so special to us, doing the things that a lot of us don't have the time to do, and you probably don't have the time to do this either. I want to just say thank you how much this means to us to be able to have the public comment on things like this, on all these issues, hatchery issues, fishery, hunting, land. Today I want to talk about being an Orca Task Force member. I'm also president of the Puget Sound Anglers state board, which is 16 chapters statewide, budget advisory group with WDFW, and also one of the 52 ORCA task force members. Yesterday's meeting, listening to the passion of everybody trying to save the ORCAs, it's the ORCA is in pretty dire shape. And we have some of these groups that are saying we don't need to make fish. In other words, we want to watch them die is the way I take it, because we know that the habitat can't support these big runs of wild fish. They're not coming back anytime soon until habitat's fixed. You have got to keep going the path you're doing, and you have to make fish for this. Why did our orcas go down to California and feed? It's because that's where the big Chinook were. They have an outstanding hatchery program down there that HSIRG is trying to interfere with and kill it now. But the people that I know down there, they are the West Coast shining example. And we need to get back to that. We need to have fish. Orcas have proved us right. Starving fish, starving orcas need more fish. I think more organizations need to get behind this policy, because they keep telling me they're not anti-hatchery, but yet I haven't heard any of the other sports groups speak up in support of this hatchery policy. A few of us went down and met with Noah early on and talked to him about the orcas and what can we do to get hatchery production up to, and these are some of the top people in NOAA on the West Coast, to be able to make fish for the orcas and for the communities. And they said the starving orcas suffices to fill that. So I came back with the groups that I used to work with, and we ended up in a huge argument because I said, we have a green light to go after making more hatchery fish. And exactly what happened was the exact opposite. And I left there so disgusted that this is one of the reasons why Puget Sound Anglers has gone on their own, because we don't have support to try and fix things. And we're not out to make money. We don't want our name in lights. We just want our kids and our grandkids to fish and save the orcas and save our communities. The tribes are in lockstep with us, and I appreciate your hard work of working with the tribes. I stepped over across the line and went to the tribes out of frustration and not be able to get anywhere. And I'm really, really happy to be able to say the tribes want three major things. They want the habitat restored. They want predation on our salmon fixed. And they also want to see hatchery production increased. I don't see many other groups saying things like this, but this is exactly what we are. And on the Billy Frank Coalition Jr., I'm on that also. And those are three of the main things you have to agree with to be on there. So I just want to say thank you for everything. And keep up the great work. And if we don't talk before Christmas, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Ron, thank you for your comments. Have a good weekend. Nikki, next, please.
Next, you got Lisa Olson. Go ahead, Lisa.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay. Hi, everybody. Commission, Director Siswin, thank you so much for taking my comment. I'm a Pacific County Commissioner. I'd just like to put my two cents in on in support of the hatcheries. They are, it seems like so many things these days get the words get a bad name, and hatchery's not a bad thing. It's a tool that can be used, and the Willapa is a perfect system to utilize those. You know, we need to keep, I think that we need to keep using those as a tool as we are trying to recover our wild runs. I think it's been proven that we can do that. And, science is like numbers. They don't lie, but they can be manipulated, and we need to be really careful not to fall for that. Our local rural communities, our coastal communities, really can still and can still rely on salmon. And I appreciate all your hard work on this, on these subjects, and would just like to encourage you to stick with the revisions that you're thinking about, and utilize our hatcheries along with helping to increase, you know, better encourage like communities like ours to make the habitat better, to encourage the wild runs to come back. And hope you all have a wonderful holiday season, given what we're going through here. Just be as happy and as in tune with your folks as you can be. Thank you.
Lisa, thank you for your comments, and you and your family have a happy holiday season as well. Nikki, next, please.
That's all I've got.
Okay, that being the case, I think Mr. Warren has the floor.
Chair Carpenter, thank you. As we described the science and the staff participation in this, I was hoping to offer some additional information about what I believe the commission's intent is relative to the schedule for the CEPA reviews. And I believe that, like that good science, like that staff participation, that the scheduling isn't intended to presuppose that a final outcome is going to be presented to you, that a determination of whether or not the CEPA review will be whatever stage it is, up to and including an environmental impact statement, that's what you're seeking from staff in that final presentation to the commission. I just don't want us to think that that's going to be the end of it and we get to the following meeting and it's final action time. It may very well be that, but it also very well may be that there's additional work that we have to do to conclude that environmental review. And I want to make sure that all of us are aware that those will be determined through that process. We will undergo a removal of the CEPA that's currently on file for this and reinitiate as we get closer to a final policy or what looks to be a nearer policy to do that CEPA on as the schedule describes. Thank you.
Ron, thank you for that explanation. Any questions of Ron? Commissioner McIsaac?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Not a question of Ron. If there aren't any, I wanted to make a comment on what we heard in public testimony.
Commissioner Thorburn has her hand up. What, one of you go first or one of you go second? I don't care which. Ladies first, Commissioner Thorburn, then back to you, Don.
Well, mine was a question for Ron. Ron, in your earlier presentation, you said we hope to do more monitoring. I think I heard that. And that was certainly an area of concern that I carried away from the both science and implementation presentations that we had. And I see in some of the comments that you summarized, they bring up, we have lots of data. It was required of HSRG for monitoring our hatcheries, things like PHAS and PNOB, but it's kind of by hatchery by hatchery. You kind of get the feeling that it's collected and sits in drawers and isn't systematically analyzed, or we don't have a methodology for that. We talked about basin analysis. And this is going to, it seems to me, be very important in terms of environmental impact of our hatcheries to really get a handle on this. And since you brought up, we want to do more monitoring, at least that's what I heard earlier. I'm wondering, where are we with this? And in terms of just our practices and where it's going to fit into the policy. And well, first of all, in the CEPA and then into the policy.
Chair Carpenter, Commissioner Thorburn, thank you. I'm not a CEPA expert, so how the monitoring will fit in there will be what data we have and how the changes from the previous policy to the new policy and what environmental impacts are described there or found there. That's what we will be looking at and making a determination on how extensive our response might need to be based on that outcome. Relative to monitoring, the current draft policy, as was a request early in the process for the department to develop a statewide monitoring plan that could be incorporated into or possibly incorporated into this hatchery policy. Staff, we didn't have time to develop that. The policy takes the step of asking the department to, from the commission, ask the department to develop that within a year, bring it back to them, and then as that's approved, seek funding as a high priority for that monitoring to occur. Recognition that the commission sees, like the department does, that it's important for specific monitoring to occur, even if that's baseline and then there are additional, you know, maybe it's a bronze level and you have different silver and gold as you add to that as additional gaps or additional information is needed. But we have to have something that's more broadly implemented so that we know what our hatchery systems do across the state instead of just where we have a higher level of funding to accomplish that. We have to seek additional funding to broaden that effort.
Okay. Commissioner McIsaac.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. In public testimony, we heard a couple of references to the southern resident killer whale, and brought back to me maybe just a little history that might be worth refreshing our minds on, that when the original motion was made in June of 2018, southern resident killer whales and the initiative to do more for hatchery fish for enhancement of prey for killer whales was one of the original, it was the only real initiative that was referred to in the motion. And remember, at that time, there was an executive order that had just come out asking the department to think about what they could do more to help southern resident killer whales. And after June, when the idea here was to start to work on that, there was a task force that Commissioner Smith sat on for quite a while. And that task force ended up recommending more hatchery fish in the immediate time frame to help killer whales for more prey. And so when we started this in June of 2018, it seemed apparent that some of the ideas on how to try to put more hatchery fish out there in a manner that didn't hurt wild fish were eligible by our current policy of 3619. There were some ideas about some dead-end bays in Puget Sound that didn't have wild fish populations that might be places where fish could be released and that they wouldn't have big impacts on wild fish and that there'd be some shirt-tail benefits to fisheries that would come about that certainly should not be apologized for. It's really a win-win situation. And when the fish got back to those terminal areas where there weren't wild fish, there could be intensified fisheries that again would be a positive. On the Columbia River, there's areas where you can release fish in a similar manner, not a dead-end bay necessarily, but in a similar manner where you're not on top of wild fish and reasonably safe. And so this whole idea was, where can we do something for killer whales that would be significant, 50 million smolts, but not cause problems for wild fish? So that genesis was out there. These two gentlemen that spoke today brought it up again. Yesterday, we heard testimony that the fishing industry folks have come to the table. You've seen the ocean business of setting up a mechanism so that fisheries do react when there's low abundance. We're about ready to make some decisions on commercial whale watching, and that's going to disrupt that industry a little bit, perhaps. But even then the testimony was, please do something right away for killer whale prey. And I just thought I'd bring that up. I know Mr. George Harris talked about Puget Sound Falls Chinook and looking for a study there. These killer whale enhancements select the right genetic strain that migrate to where the killer whales are at. And for Puget Sound, I think that was Fall Chinook. And the science report noted that we've got a lot of science on steelhead. We got a lot of science on yearling fish. There's not very much science on sub-yearling Fall Chinook as to what the genetic effects are and the rest of it. So there's a higher degree of uncertainty on Fall Chinook than any of the others. And that's out of our science report. So these things dovetail together pretty well, I think. And so I just wanted to react to that public testimony and say that's how this thing got started. And here it is 2.5 years later. And I think it's time for us to move down the road and see what we can do toward finishing something that accomplishes these original goals of not hurting wild fish, doing something for killer whales, raising more hatchery fish that if it has fishery benefits to the coast, inside the Columbia River, inside Puget Sound areas, that's all a good thing in my mind.
So okay, thank you. Thank you, Commissioner.
The point of where do we go from here on moving forward?
Well, I think we've pretty well covered next steps, unless any other commissioners have any additional comments. Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to the next agenda item.